Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit is warning a person over and over again about judgment. And then when you come to know Jesus, what do? You wind up getting that lifted from you. And then he says things like this: you have peace with God now.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Why Should I? Biblical lessons that take a look at what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices that you and I as believers make. We're now in the home stretch of this collection of topical studies, and if you've been following along, you've been hearing Pastor Jack talk about why should I be a witness? Well, the short answer for that is that the Father and the Son are and have been witnesses. Now, Pastor Jack's got a message for us full of scripture about how the Holy Spirit himself continues to be a witness throughout the world in the lives of both the believer and the non-believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Holy Spirit is a witness to judgment. It is the Holy Spirit himself who plagues the consciousness of man today. It was communicated through a little wooden guy, you know? He wanted to be alive. He had every time he told a lie, his nose grew. Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket would show up and tell him what's right and what's wrong. Remember that? And the Holy Spirit, he plagues the consciousness of people. You know, all you have to do is show up. I mean, you see the moving of the Holy Spirit upon people. You just remember, I've told you before, after this, you're going to probably go get breakfast. Take your Bible there and just set it right on the table. Good morning, dear waitress. How are you? And I want a cup of coffee, and let me see. Scrambled eggs, hash browns. And she's gonna look at the Bible the whole time. What was that? Scrambled coffee? What? It's the Bible. It's amazing how that happens. You don't have to take a Bible to breakfast. You can sit there and she comes up or he comes up. Good morning, how are you? Great, I'm here to take your order. You know what? I'm here to take your order. Why don't you give me something to pray for this week? Really? Yeah. You know what? That is amazing to me because people struggle in their head until they're at peace with God through Christ. They struggle in their head with the existence of God because they know until they come to Christ they're under judgment. They know someday the books will be opened. They know it internally. The Holy Spirit says so to them. The Spirit says things like this to them in the consciousness of man. He says things like, what are you thinking about death? He'll shoot a thought into their head. You ever think about life after death? You ever think about the Bible? The Holy Spirit speaks to everybody. What are you thinking about Jesus? And sometimes, church, listen, some of you need to hear this, because maybe your child, your wife, or your husband's running away from God, and it's getting worse. You know what? That's a good sign. Hear me out. Have you been witnessing to your son, and he's running away more? He's getting close. The more tense, the more upset they get about God, it's because the Holy Spirit, nicknamed the Hound Dog of Heaven, the old preachers used to call him, the Hound of Heaven. The Holy Spirit. constantly going after them. They can't escape. They can maybe get out of your house. They can move out of your state. They can move out of your country. They can go around the world. The Holy Spirit is still with them, right alongside there. What are you going to do about heaven? What are you going to do about hell? What are you going to do about Jesus? What are you going to do about God? What are you going to do about... That's what he does. Judgment. The Holy Spirit is warning a person over and over again about judgment. And then when you come to know Jesus, what do? You wind up getting that lifted from you. And then he says things like this: you have peace with God now. I love you. How many times does he tell you in the day? Would I be out of line to tell you something incredibly private and personal? There's times when God puts the squeeze on me, it's more than if he showed up and hugged me physically. It's something in my head and in my heart where it's like, oh, You're so good. He just reveals a snapshot that I have been so accepted before him through Jesus, and because of what Jesus did, I just feel like butter. I mean, it's like you're squeezed with his love, and it's like, Lord, don't give me any more of this. It's too good. You saved me when I was a wretch. When nobody loved me, you did, and you do. You've got heaven waiting for me. I deserve hell. You can't keep your eyes off of me. You're so crazy about me. I don't see why, but Lord, thank you. And I love that. When you see a sunset or a sunrise, or when you see something happen, when it's going on and it's beautiful around you, do you realize he's doing that for you? It's almost as though he can look through your eyes and he's wondering, what do you think? Huh? You like that? Do you like that sunset? That's your sunset. Men, when I see a river, or you go to Yosemite or wherever, or you see the waves crashing on the coast, and you know, that's for me. I believe it. Driving up to Santa Barbara, dolphins jumping out of the water. I'm going down the freeway. I'm looking more at the Pacific Ocean than I am looking at the highway. And the sense, that's kind of what I'm talking about right now. I just felt God squeezing me in the car. Nobody else is around. I'm looking at the water, placid. And the dolphins, by I don't know how many, 30, 40 of them, jumping out of the water. And I'm looking. There was no grandstands along Highway 101. Nobody. There were no, you know, that was a 10. Oh, that was an 8. Nobody judging it. It was for me. I believe God allowed me to see those dolphin who he created jump out of the water when my head was looking to catch it. Nobody else was around for me. And then I felt his squeeze. I'm doing this for you. And it's like, oh, Lord. It's awesome. Number 5, why should we be a witness? Well, we get to be, because that's what the world is, you know. The world is a witness, and I thank God we're not of it. Very quickly, though, the world is a witness of suffering. You know that? The world is a witness of suffering, pain and suffering. That's what the world knows. That's what the world's trying to do. It's defend itself against all the suffering. They just don't know how to get out of it. We need to be a witness to the world, because the world is suffering. People, the world is full of injustice. Injustice. And even the world cries out, and the world wants even balances. You'll hear people who are not Christians cry out that things should be fair and just. Where does that come from? But for the righteousness of God, and from the existence of the Lord, and from the witness that he gives to the world. He's put it in a man's heart. Suffering, injustice, a world is witness to evil. The world knows internally that the evil is wrong in the earth. You know it's true. You hear people say, why would God? They don't even know who God is. You see them on TV. Why would God allow this? Oh, you believer in God? No, I don't believe in God. How come? Because there's evil in the world. I've never understood that. I can't believe in God. There's suffering in the world. I don't get that. Unless really what you're saying is, I want to believe in a God, I don't understand him, so I'm going to be upset with him and deny his existence. I think that's what you're trying to say. Because if you can recognize evil and injustice and suffering, then that makes you somewhat of an expert witness to judge what beauty, righteousness, and comfort must be. If you can say, that's evil, well, on what basis? You must have something to judge that against, right? Where does that come from? Well, I think that's wrong. Based on what? If this is an evolutionary planet, if this is a gathering of accidents, then you can't judge and say, you can't kill people, that's wrong. You can't do that because we're just animals. No one's ever walked up to an alligator and slapped it for eating a gazelle at the watering hole. What are you doing? Whoa. Alligators eat gazelles. There's evil in the world. The very presence of evil proves the biblical story that God created perfection, but sin made it all go wrong. And if you can sit in judgment and say, that's wrong. There's injustice in the world. I can't believe in God. There's evil in the world. I will not believe in God. Are you crazy? The very fact that you can point out evil speaks that there must be something good. And I encourage you, get your eyes off the evil and find out what is good. And there's only one good. And that's God. Think about it for a while. And I think the light will come on. Sixth and final point, and we'll be done with our series. Why should I be a witness? Because that's what we must be. That's what we must be. Because remember, this whole series started with a grand assumption that we were all Christians. And if we're all Christians, then we have to be witnesses. That's what we have to do. As a Christian, my life is now bigger than I've ever imagined. My life's bigger. I don't care how young you are, how middle-aged you are, how old you are. In life, you will go through your place. You may be a kid struggling with your grades. Graduate, get a break, go to college, get that degree, form a company, have employees, make money, have everything you want. Hand it over to another, to your children or whoever. Live the golden years. Live in ease. Things change. You may start out in life and never make ends meet. Things change. It doesn't matter what your status or position in life is. Things change. The great thing is being a Christian. The Bible says we move on from glory to glory. And though my status in life may change, and someday, if the Lord doesn't come back, I will not be pastoring this church. I'll be an old man. And things change. But you know what? I'll be near to the kingdom of heaven. And some of the things I did in my life mattered, and most probably did not matter. But Jesus has been with me all the way. And things change. But my life with him grows in glory to glory. And the sweet thing about all that is that my life, every year with yours, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, no matter what changes. Maybe you're on the brink of retirement and you're wondering, what am I going to do with my life? Your life's going to get bigger, Christian. Al and Cecil, remember them? I haven't seen them in a while. They ministered in China for years. Missionaries of ours that we've supported for years. I worked with Al at Baxter Healthcare for many years, and it came time for him to retire from Baxter. Well, what do Christians do when they retire? Well, he sold his home in Lake Forest, put the money in the bank, used it to fund him and Cecil's missionary life. When you retire at the age of 65, you become missionaries. That's what you do. And they moved to China. They smuggled Bibles into communist China. Oh yeah, they got caught a few times. They got beat up a few times by the Chinese police. Got right back up, rejoiced to be associated with Jesus, kept smuggling Bibles into China. And I'm not going to tell you where that old man is right now, but he's not in the United States, I'll tell you that. Working for God right now. Our life gets bigger. Is your life, Christian, is your life bigger today than it was 5 years ago? Is your life bigger today than it was 10 years ago? Does God have a bigger grip on who and what we are? Three things were done very quickly. It's this. How's my life bigger? This new life controls me. This new life controls you. Number two, this new life possesses us, just like it did the prophets of old. It possesses us. Controls me, possesses me. The Holy Spirit does, God does, the Bible does. And this new life, it owns us. People, we have to be witnesses because God owns us now. The Bible says that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your mind. So I leave you with this verse. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. And before Jesus uttered the verses of 8 and 9, the disciples, they were so excited that they had him back from the dead, that they wanted him to just stay there. And they said to him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" I mean, now that you're back from the dead, can we get on with the program? Will you kick Rome off of our heels and give us freedom and prosperity? We want to get this thing going. We're very excited about you being king, and we'll be your ushers or whatever it takes. We'll be right alongside you. Jesus says, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." You get to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Anybody know? It's where they were standing. That's the answer. When you go to Bible college and they ask you, "Why Jerusalem?" Tell them, "It was where they were standing." That's the answer. Number two, in all Judea. What's it? Why Judea? Because when you leave Jerusalem, you go into Judea. And Samaria. Once you leave Judea, you got to go through Samaria. And we're going to stand there pretty soon, people. We're going to stand there on the coast of Caesarea, on the Mediterranean. And we're going to sit in that amphitheater that Paul sat in. Same one. And as the waves of the Mediterranean are crashing behind me, you'll be looking at it. I'll be giving you a teaching about how from that place, the gospel left. Because why? It went through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then it got right to the coast of, right off near Tel Aviv, Caesarea, and it jumped into the water. The gospel did. "And you shall be witnesses of mine, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria," and what does it say? "To the ends of the earth." Chino Hills. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up from them into a cloud, which received him out of their sight." And what did they do? They went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. Chino Hills. That's our marching orders. That's it. That's what we're to do. The Holy Spirit is warning a person over and over again about judgment. And then when you come to know Jesus, what do? You wind up getting that lifted from you. And then he says things like this: "You have peace with God now."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, wrapping up his series within a series called "Why Should I Be a Witness?" In fact, this concludes Pastor Jack's entire collection of topical studies, simply called "Why Should I?" You know, the book of 1 Samuel has got to be my favorite in the whole Bible. And on Monday's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a brand new fascinating verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Samuel. So we've got that to look forward to. Now, don't forget, we're offering the entire series called "Why Should I?" on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach called Real Radio. Visit realradioactive.org to learn more. That's realradioactive.org. All right, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment here on Real Radio. Ask Pastor Jack, it's a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. By the way, you can send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, sometimes we get Pastor Jack to answer the questions here in the studio, and sometimes he'll give us the answer straight from the pulpit, like we're doing today. Here's the question for this week. "Hi, Pastor Jack. I'd like to know the answer to when does life begin, especially in light of in vitro insemination. I am aware of Psalm 139 and verse 16, and I believe that God gives life very early in the development of a baby, but I'm not sure exactly when. As you may know, when couples decide to use in vitro insemination, some of the embryos are never implanted. If God gives life at the moment of conception, then all these embryos have life. In light of this, is in vitro fertilization a sin?" Here's what Pastor Jack had to say from the pulpit.
Okay, again, this is one of those questions that our culture has fed us. You never would have thought of this, that concept in your own head.
It is such a native part of our thinking that we think we thought of it on our own. I got news for you. It was implanted into your brain and mine when? You know how Satan came, by the way, to Adam and Eve? Or Eve, I should say. What did he say? Hath God said? Right? He came to undermine what was known by them commonly, right? So when somebody says, when does life? That's supposed to be a snake voice. Sorry. When does life begin? That is one of the stupidest questions ever. Because if you are a biologist, a chemist, if you're a nurse or a doctor, you know what you already know? You know something. You know that the sperm by itself, is it dead or alive? It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! The egg, is it dead or is it alive? Life has been there. It's already there. It's there. It's there before there's a collision. It's there before there's fertilization. Life, meat, replication begins. We're asking the wrong question at the wrong time. It's all full of life. Once it takes place, regarding in vitro, what is the dilemma is if you're going to do this, you disregard, or nowadays, the disregarded fertilized egg is put up for scientific research and things like that. And what is the answer? Is it an abortion, or is this? That's a very tough question. Personally, you're not going to like my answer. And look, I love you. I this is where I'm at in my infancy as a Christian. Here's my answer. The Bible says that God opens and closes the womb according to his will. There are people who can't get pregnant, and they get pregnant through artificial insemination. I would never judge that, and I don't have a up vote or a down vote on it. I leave that in the hands of God, okay? Lisa and I were convicted and convinced we could not get pregnant early on. And it really began to worry us. We fasted and prayed. We had Pastor Chuck. We asked him to put his hand on Lisa's stomach and pray for us to get pregnant. Didn't happen for another year. We really got concerned. But we were under the conviction that if the Lord wants it to happen, he knows exactly what he's doing, and we'll get pregnant. If we don't get pregnant, then maybe we'll adopt. And we left the outcome to God. Now, maybe many of you have done the in vitro, and that's how you got pregnant. You've got a wonderful baby boy or baby girl, and life was wonderful. Awesome. For me personally, my conviction is, it does concern me about the disposing of a fertilized egg. For this, my reasons are purely theological. I understand the scientific part of it. That's a done deal. It was life before it was fertilized. So the issue becomes, to get one child, do we throw away 500 children? See, our culture says, who cares? It's just nothing. I understand that, but you can't tell that to a scientist. A scientist will tell you, that little nothing you just threw in the trash can is just as technically advanced and powerful and meaningful as if it lived to be 99 years old. On the scientific level, you see, it becomes an ethical, moral issue, doesn't it? So you have to be convinced in your own heart and your own mind, and just leave it at that. That's a tough thing to answer. Be personally convinced, and let the Lord lead you in that.
All right, Pastor Jack from the pulpit on the question of whether or not in vitro fertilization is a sin. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. You might hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear it when we get him here in the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.